is the Next Trip Podcast with aviation insiders Doug and Drew. Together, with more than 40 years of industry experience, they are creating a network for other av geeks and travel enthusiasts to obsess about all things aviation. All thoughts and opinions are their own.
Good day, welcome to Boarding Pass 142, operating on August 15th, 2022. This is Doug, an airline pilot. I'm here with my buddy Drew, an airline ops manager and private pilot trainee. We're here to discuss aviation topics from an industry insider's perspective.
We're going to do things a little different this week since we're actually recording in person.
In person.
We are in the same room, which is so rare.
It's the first time in months, I think, that we've actually recorded together.
What? And it's just by chance because I'm visiting my mom. And you happen to be off in your crazy schedule.
And my family happened to be out of town. It's perfect how everything worked out.
Yeah, there's a whole backstory, but we won't drag you down into that. We're recording in person. It's going to be a fun-filled episode without drama. Was that actually, did we put, we got to have some drama.
We'll see. Hopefully not. We'll see.
Without so Doug wrote this, not me, without controversial topics and without talking about Spirit, Frontier, JetBlue. Let's dive right in. You're back from your Cleveland trip. How was it?
It was amazing. As we talked about in the last episode, I deadheaded to Cleveland, and then I operated the flight from Cleveland to Las Vegas. It was a sports charter. I don't think I'm allowed to discuss the team or any. Maybe I am. I don't know. I'm going to keep it on basically general terms.
It was a major league football team.
It was a major football team that we were flying back to Vegas from Cleveland. It was awesome. And it's amazing. Football teams have so much stuff. Think about all their pads, their helmets, all support staff, all the players. And this is still their training camp. So their team is like twice the size of what it's going to be during the regular season. And it's amazing because you asked me the question tonight. I sent you a picture. We were sitting on the flight deck and we saw like 15 buses show up to the airplane.
Yeah, it was amazing. And they're all coming in unison. They look exactly the same.
It's the same bus. There were like 15 of them plus a bunch of rider trucks that had all of their equipment in it. When we showed up at the airplane, Drew, there were pallets all over the ramp with nets that they were literally ready to unload the stuff from these trucks, put them on the pallets, put the nets on, get the players and coaches and support staff on the airplane in their seats, and all the seats are assigned, and there are name placards at each seat. And we opened up the windows, the captain and I, and we watched them load up all their equipment onto these pallets.
Which probably doesn't take a lot of room on a 777, because I saw the duffel bags. Yeah. They all look exactly the same.
Yeah.
They probably have maybe a pallet of equipment, if that.
Yeah. It was incredible just to see how fast they get it done. And the team actually has a rep that works for the team who works with the airline as well. And that we were speaking with the rep and he was telling us, guys, once the team shows up, we are going to be fully loaded probably within 30 minutes.
But my question is, from our airline, was there a rep that was overseeing?
There was. Yeah, we had a rep from the airline and then the team had a rep and they were the two people who were basically quarterbacking, to use a football term, I guess. They were the ones who were quarterbacking this whole process.
Do you remember the name of the person, the company representative? Because these guys...
This is their job.
This is their job. And to be honest, the charter teams are the Navy SEALs of our company.
It was amazing.
They know everything about everything. They can load the plane.
Yep.
They know about the field. They know about what you do. Mm-hmm. They know about the crews. When we had our craft flights to Afghanistan.
Yeah, it was that team as well.
Yeah, so that's when I met these guys. They know more about the operation in terms of getting a flight out than I do.
Yeah.
Because they're down to the granular level of what do they need. So yeah, I'm glad that you got to work with those people.
I don't remember the name. I could look it up and I could tell you. But it was such an awesome experience. And I know that we talked about, I was debating between a really awesome four-day trip to Seoul or doing this. And you asked me because it was two red eyes,
right?
And the game was delayed because of weather, which meant the team didn't get there until later. If I was still going to be excited that I did this trip, 100%, I would not have traded this thing for any other trip.
I told you, it's like this probably wasn't a sought after trip because it's late in the night. It's a red eye. The deadhead flights that you took to get there weren't that great either.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you going to feel like this was a great experience or are you going to feel like you got punked?
I absolutely did not get punked. This was awesome. And I'm so glad that I happened to catch this and no one else picked it up because I would not have traded this for anything. The experience was amazing. And the players on the team, I was telling you over drinks tonight, the players on the team were awesome. And a lot of the starters actually came up. I'm not going to say the names. I don't want to talk about the team, but they were great. They came up to the flight deck. They were asking questions. They took a picture sitting in the pilot seats. Like, it was just, the experience was really cool.
Yeah, I had to take a double take when you told me that, because I was just assuming it's part of, you know, the admin or the coaches.
That we don't interact with them.
So, I mean, guys, these players actually came into the flight deck.
And they were asking questions. They're
like, oh, how do you know what to do with all these buttons?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool that they're interested in that.
Yeah, it was great. I made a joke with one of the players. I said, oh, I only know about 10% of this stuff. And he's like, don't tell me that, dude.
Not funny.
And I was like, I'm kidding. But like, we know what everything does. Yeah. Now, before we move on, I do want to apologize about the sound quality. Last week, I was in a nondescript hotel room sitting in Cleveland, and the internet was not great, and it turns out that the recording wasn't great either. And now we're in a nondescript hotel room in Walnut Creek,
California. Together, though.
Hopefully, there's a lot of granite. I think this is granite countertop. Hopefully, we don't have too much of an echo, and we're using a single mic for this, but we apologize in advance if the sound quality isn't great.
Well, we were going to record this at SFO tomorrow, but we're going to be too excited with spotting and stuff to focus on taping. So we're taping now. We have a non-rev trip coming up. So the episode after this, we'll talk all about that, I'm sure.
It worked out, though, as you said, that Nate is flying to town because he flew his son back home to Seattle tonight.
Well, who's Nate?
Nate from YouTube, Nate in the Air. He's been on the podcast couple of times, several times now.
Yeah.
And he has a couple of days off, and it just worked out. You flew out here to see your mom. Nate is flying down from Seattle, and I have the day off tomorrow, possibly working on Wednesday. We'll see. And that leads into the next bullet point where I told you that being on reserve is like non-revving, but it's for my job.
We haven't really talked about this, but how is being on reserve like non-revving? Non-revving is whether you get on a flight or not.
Yeah.
You are getting on the flight if you're deadheading.
No, I'm talking about my schedule starting this week. I might get on a flight. I might not. I might get on a flight. Okay. I might get on a flight that I want to, or it might be on a flight that I don't want to. And when you're non-revving, you're rolling the dice, and you're constantly looking at the loads. We're going to talk about your trip and how you got to San Francisco. You didn't fly nonstop.
No, we will get there. But are you saying that you're on some kind of a standby list for these flights, and based on seniority, you get the one?
That is
how it's like.
That is exactly how. And I have to look at the list of reserves, and I have to look and see the desired trips versus the non-desired trips versus like an intermediate trip. And a prime example of that is we talked about my Taipei prison trip a couple of weeks
36 hours
locked down in a hotel room. And of course, there are these Heathrow and Frankfurt and Munich trips that are open, but I'm pretty far down the list. The question is, do I roll the dice and pick up a less than desired trip, meaning a domestic trip or something like that, in hopes that I avoid Taipei, or do I roll the dice and not try and pick up any trip in hopes that I can get onto one of these desired European trips? Knowing that if I don't pick up the less desired trip, I may end up getting stuck into Taipei.
As you can tell, Doug is overanalyzing this. And just like when you used to fly as a civilian, you would constantly check if you got an upgrade every few seconds. Now Doug is checking to see whether he got, what is it? So Taipei, Frankfurt, or London is available.
This is one of those situations where in another day I'll be able to really tell what's going on.
Doug is trying not to get Taipei. There were two open Taipei trips. One has been taken. There's one more. But there are also two European trips. There's a Paris and a London.
And that's what I'm holding. No, that's what I'm holding out for. But right now I'm pretty far down the seniority list, which is why I say this is like non-revving, but for my job, where I constantly have to look as I'm coming on work status, basically. I have to look and see what trips are open, who wants what trips, where do I stand in the seniority order, and do I jump on something else instead before I get a non-desirable?
We are throwing around this word non-revving. So non-revving is what airline employees do when they are traveling on leisure on standby, non-revving. we're not giving the company revenue, mm-hmm. so we're on standby, so non-revenue. I don't know if all the airlines use that same...
I think so. All my friends who work at other airlines talk about non-revving. I think it's a generally accepted term in the industry.
Anything else on your charter trip?
Well, the end of the charter trip, we ended up in Vegas because we dropped the team off, and then we had like 30 hours off, which was great. Vegas is always fun. Drew, I want to bring up this 55-minute shuttle from the hotel to the airport. Because you and I have had an experience with leaving for the airport in Vegas from the Strip in under an hour. I'm looking at my schedule and I see my pickup time for this Deadhead flight to Chicago. And they scheduled me, the pickup was 55 minutes prior to departure. And I wasn't working.
That is fear factor.
I was incredibly fearful about that.
I don't know how that... could be scheduled.
I don't know.
That means you're getting to the airport. I mean, ideally, you want to get to the airport in half an hour from downtown Las Vegas to the airport, right?
Sure. And then you have to go through security. And to get to our gates, you have to go on the tram. And then you have to go up the escalator and walk all the way over. And I was looking at this and I was like, 55 minutes. That's a 25-minute drive, at least, to the airport. Mm-hmm. That gives me 30 minutes prior to departure. And the door closes at 15 minutes or 10 minutes, maybe. That gives me, 15 minutes to go through security, to get on the tram, to get to the gate, and to board the airplane. There is no way.
So you would be getting there at the same time as customers to board.
I would be getting there after, because the boarding starts 40 minutes prior.
So when do you do your prep?
Well, I was deadheading.
Oh, okay.
But still, but if I'm the pilot flying, they schedule me for 55 minutes, mm-hmm. they're going to wait for me, because I'm the pilot flying. If I'm deadheading and I don't show up, they're going to close the door and they're going to go, and then... who knows what's going to happen with my schedule.
Long story short, the last time that Doug and I were in Las Vegas, we go down to the Uber and we're planning to get to the airport an hour prior.
Mm-hmm.
But the Uber is late. I don't know what happened, but we're on the Uber. It's like, we're on the way to the airport. We're not going to get there an hour prior, but we're still good. The Uber gets into an accident.
Yep.
We're in this, it's a fender bender, but we're sitting there and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to call another Uber because we can't miss this flight.
We'll do it at the intersection that we're sitting at.
But then the guy that we hit just drove off. So we're like, okay, I guess we're going to get there.
Yeah, but still, we were one of the last people to board the airplane. And when I saw this 55-minute shuttle to the airport, I was laughing because I was thinking about that trip.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, I called and I moved it up by 25 minutes because I was like, I don't want to be in that
situation.
What
about the rest of the crew, though?
It was the captain. I talked to the captain and he was fine with it. And I explained to him, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with leaving the hotel 55 minutes prior to departure. And he said, I completely agree. So I was able to call and get a change. And then we deadheaded to Chicago, which what do we affectionately call it now?
Yeah, so you were in Chicago at this Irish pub, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh yeah, Chicago, the Dublin of the Midwest.
Yeah, it's like Dubuque, the Zurich of the Midwest. Which and we're actually talking about it tonight over drinks that Chicago, I would say, behind probably Boston in the U.S. has the second highest Irish population.
I kind of knew that, but when I think Irish and the U.S., I think of Boston.
Yeah.
I don't think so much about Chicago, but yeah, I mean, you're saying it has a big Irish population. They do dye the Chicago River green.
On St. Patty's Day, and they have a huge St. Patty's Day parade. And I texted you and our buddies, and I said, I'm in Chicago, so of course I had to go to an Irish pub. And that was when you said it was the Dublin of the Midwest. Let's talk about non-revving. You flew out here to see your mom. You non-revved from Dulles. A lot of times you fly nonstop. What did you do this time?
I flew from Washington Dulles to San Francisco. So, of course, the day before I'm traveling, there's thunderstorms, and we had 33 cancellations. That's just at my airport. In Newark, they probably had more.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have all this backlog of customers trying to get all over, especially to the West Coast, because, you know, that's our big routes. I'm figuring out, how can I get to San Francisco? We canceled 33 flights. So now I'm looking at all kinds of options to get there. And the nice thing about being in a hub is there's flights to everywhere.
Literally everywhere.
Yeah. So I can recreate a hub, if you will, or recreate another connection point anywhere where there's flights from my hub to San Francisco, which is another hub. So looking at all these flights, everything's overbooked. Mm-hmm. The load factor is 110%, not including the non-revs.
Can we talk quickly about the meme that I sent to our group?
You can.
We'll
post this meme on the website. So it's so funny.
There's this picture from the British Open a couple weeks ago, and you guys have probably all seen different memes about this, but it's Tiger Woods with John Daly. For those who don't know John Daly, he's the fat golfer who smokes on the course and always wears colorful pants and doesn't really fit in with the professional golf crowd. And this meme is Tiger staring at John, who's smoking the cigarette. And the title over John says, me trying to, or getting on an airplane when it says, or non-revving when it says it's -7 seats, meaning it's oversold by 7.
Right.
But you're getting on. And then the title over Tiger says, all these
boomers
saying, oh, flight benefits are terrible. They don't actually work.
Well, and yours, you know,
it worked.
It worked. The flight that I was on, the city I chose was Nashville. Because if I can somehow get to Nashville, if I can get out of D.C., I'm home free because it was 40 seats from Nashville to San Francisco. Nashville is my only hope. Just like the meme, it's overbooked by 3. I have 22 years seniority with our company. And I am right at the top of the list, and we have some missed connections, and I get on the flight to Nashville. I'm on the way to Nashville, and it's so dumb. It's so weird because I'm connecting in Nashville, which is not a connecting city for us. So our company sends me a text as I land in Nashville. Welcome to Nashville. Your connecting flight is at A8, and that's the gate that I'm arriving at. So it's the same plane.
But
it's
same plane, same crew. You had to get off the airplane and then re-clear and get back on.
Yeah. So I sent Doug a picture of, I'll tell you why I'm sitting in the back. I sent Doug a picture of all the people waiting to get off the plane. And I said, I really wish they would let the connections off first. And you or Matt said, dude, it's just you. At our airline, they're actually very nice to us. Once the seats open up, they try and get us the best seats available.
Mm-hmm.
So the seat that I got, first class was full. So the seat that I got was 8C, which is an aisle seat in the extra leg room. But I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. They gave me a nice seat. But on the seat map, I'm seeing 35 Foxtrot, which is the last row. But it's a window.
Yep.
So I self-downgrade, and I'm like, hey, I don't want to bother the agents, but the way I played it is, hey, oh my God, I don't want to take this seat away from someone else. Go ahead and give me 35F. And they're like, oh, that's so nice of you. So I got 35F, and it was great. It's an A319 with nice wider seats, like 18 inches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the back with a window and a half with a great view. And it was a lot better than
A3. We'll have to post the pictures. You got some really nice pictures landing in Nashville.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you guys,
like right at sunset.
That was my first time in Nashville, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very green. There's a river.
It's semi-hilly. It's like the beginning stages of the Appalachians. So there's some hills. Yeah. I really like Nashville. That's part of the reason why when I was on 7-3, I was trying to bid to Nashville when I could, because it was easy to get into. It was really pretty.
The airport is not great. Land in Nashville, and then you were saying, like, as soon as I got there, it's kind of cramped. It is very cramped. So land, and it's a different flight number to San Francisco, but it's the same crew. I was in the last row in a regular economy seat. And again, I know that we've talked about this in the podcast. It's all about the crew, and the crew was awesome. So even though I was in the last row, I changed seats. I was in a window further forward on the second flight, but it's all about the crew. Mm-hmm. The crew was great from start to finish.
What was the picture that you sent me of a plane in Nashville? You said, I'm really impressed that Nashville has this service.
Yeah, so we landed in Nashville, and there's a British Airways 787 in Nashville, which is completely unexpected.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, you were saying that Nashville is exploding.
It's exploding.
In terms of tourism,
yeah,
and people moving there.
We talked about how we're in Walnut Creek, California right now. Mm-hmm. You grew up in this area, and we've talked about your first job was at Concord Airport, just up the road, CCR. We paid a visit. Well, you paid a visit there yesterday, and then you said, "Dude, we have to go back today." And we went there. How amazing and how special was that? And we also talked about, we both work for a major airline. We work at a major. Each of us work in a major hub.
Yeah.
You don't get that general aviation feel. Well, you do because you're doing your private pilot's license. Mm-hmm. But we ended up just out on the ramp, walking around some of these small airplanes. We watched a JetSpeed X JSX
E1. You said JetSpeed X?
That's the name of the airplane.
Really?
JetSpeed X. Okay. Yeah, JSX. We watched an Embraer 145 take off to Burbank. It was awesome just smelling that exhaust and hearing the airplanes and everything. But how cool was it being back where your airline career started?
It was surreal, Doug. I think it was surreal because it has changed so little. So Doug and I took a picture of the little break room that we used to use, and it actually still says line service.
Yeah.
So I was a line serviceman at this little airport making like $7 an hour when I was 17. But I didn't care. I just wanted to be with the airplanes. And I just remember walking out on the ramp and just pinching myself. It's like, oh my God, I'm actually out with airplanes on a ramp. Now I'm much older and I have a great job as an operations manager. And to be honest, I still felt that. When you and I walked on that ramp, I still felt that sense of, this is so awesome.
This connection.
This connection with aviation. And I will tell everyone who's listening, if you love aviation, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Just get into it, and then you'll work your way into whatever. And that little job where I was fueling planes, moving planes around, you know, doing all these menial, what you would think is menial stuff, that got me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. Because after I got that job, I got a job as an operations agent at SFO for a little airline. But I got that because I was a line serviceman at this little airport at CCR. In Concord, California. Yeah.
Well, and we were talking to, I think it was probably the manager.
He's the ops manager.
The ops manager at the FBO that you worked for. And he was telling us that he comes from an airline lineage. His uncle flew for Delta, Ariana, Afghani Airlines, and one other. Flew DC-10s, 727s, L-1011s, and this kid, I hate to call him a kid, but this kid, he has 400 hours of his own. He said that he's working on all of his licenses, and he wants to get hired by a 135 operator.
Operator,
charter operator.
And he can, because it's 250 hours, and there's going to be more opportunities like that. But did you see how excited he was?
Yeah.
Just talking about
to people who work for an airline who love aviation.
Yeah.
And we showed up out of the blue and said, we love aviation. Can we walk around the ramp? Can we look at the airplanes? And it was just, it felt special.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to take Doug there because it's surreal, because I wanted to bring him here because I'm doing an aviation podcast and I'm working for a major airline, and so is he. But it's something about aviation where you can just walk up and talk to people that you don't know. So the day before, I walked up to these kids and I was like, are you guys line servicemen? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I used to do your job. And immediately we have a connection.
Yeah.
And I told them that I did their job, you know, when I was 17, and they were just enamored by my story.
It's a brotherhood and really a sisterhood. Like it's such a small world, even though aviation is worldwide.
Right.
And I know that sounds very cliche, but it really is just such a small world, and it's so special.
Yeah, and you know, I think both of us talked about this. Whenever we're in a foreign country or in a city where we haven't been, when we start getting close to an airport, we feel a sense of calm that these are our people, right? I mean, we share a common bond with them.
You might not speak the same language, but everyone has that mutual respect and understanding.
Yeah, no, so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Let's talk about tomorrow. We're sitting Walnut Creek. Part of the reason why we chose Walnut Creek over going to San Francisco was because
the price.
Hotels are incredibly expensive over there. Tomorrow, our buddy Nate, as we mentioned, is flying in from Seattle. We're going to leave here, drive over there, spend some time watching the airplanes land in San Francisco along the Bay Shore. That, to me, I know I did that with Tyler last week. That is one of the, personally, that is one of the best spotting locations in the world, I think, because you are on San Francisco Bay. You're watching all these heavies, all these different airlines come in. It's just such a spectacular landing.
It really is beautiful. And you know, I'm taking Doug on a walk down memory taxi lane, so to speak. And I want to show you tomorrow. There's a place where you go in and it's the F gates. And there's a rotunda when you go in there to the F gates. Don't go to the main section. Go to the small section on the right. If you go to the end, you are basically at runway 28 right where the planes lift off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a quiet spot. So you're going to see it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it is also where one level below, that was my first airline job that I was talking about as an ops agent for West Air, which is long gone now. But it was amazing, you know, right close to 28 right. So 28 left. So we'll see that tomorrow.
I think that there's still an office down there because several weeks ago I was deadheading somewhere and I went out there to sit like right at those windows before I had to board my flight.
Yeah.
And I saw people going up and down the stairs with express badges. And I'm pretty sure that they were going up and down to that office.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different airline. It's a different airline now, but there definitely still is a regional office. Regional carrier
Sky
office.
Probably SkyWest or some it's other, whatever,
yeah,
regional
carrier. I think it's SkyWest, but there definitely is something down there. We're going to spot for a while, and then we are going to try non-rev somewhere. We're not going to talk about it right now. We're going to record a little bit tomorrow. with Nate at after we do the spotting. We're going to do some club hopping, and then we're hoping to non-rev somewhere.
Well, yeah, and we'll have Nate tell us about his experience. So Nate is flying from Dallas to Seattle via San Francisco. He's going to come back from Seattle. This is on his way back, and then we are going to non-rev to Phoenix. Nate is the only one that matters because he's a civilian
to,
who
we're
buys
hoping
revenue
to not
tickets.
Grab to Phoenix. We're saying this with a high level of confidence that we think we're going to end up in Phoenix tomorrow. But this is close to the 1 year anniversary of our famed Myrtle Beach trip, where we didn't think we were going to Myrtle Beach and we ended
so
up there because it was the only seats.
Doug has travel benefits, but he's also very cautious. And so the only times you have non-revved is with me to Myrtle Beach, which was a nightmare because we had to like look on the departure board because all the flights were full because two other airlines at the same time had meltdowns and all of our flights were full. Tomorrow will be your second non-rev ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked, so just this weekend, or it's airline weekend, it's Tuesday, it's Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, it's weekend. I'll call it a weekend.
Doug, you have got to take your wife. You have got to take more advantage
of
your benefits.
Absolutely, we are going to. And I was mentioning to you that I was talking about not grabbing today and then meeting up with you guys tomorrow. And I chose to take care of some house stuff, which I'm glad that I did. But it's not that I'm cautious or I don't want to. It's that the schedule has been absolutely nutty the last year, and I'm finally now I was underwater. I'm getting my head above water now, and I feel like I can finally start using these benefits. And I know we talked last week about how I want to bring Marissa to Europe, so we're definitely going to do that.
Doug, we need to cover at least one news topic. We've talked a lot about AvGeek stuff, but I know the listeners love that. So we've spent a little bit more time because we are together. So we're talking about this trip and we're talking about AvGeek stuff, right? But let us discuss at least one news topic this week. And I know that we said we wouldn't talk about JetBlue just a couple minutes ago, but we have to because that's the only thing in the news right now. But it's really hard not to talk about it, right? The major hurdle for this merger between Spirit and JetBlue is the Department of Justice, the DOJ approval, which definitely won't be drama free.
It won't
I can
be.
Tell you.
I said we wouldn't talk about drama. We wouldn't talk about JetBlue, and we're gonna talk about both.
Well, we have to because we have very strong opinions. And let's just put it out there. So Next Trip Podcast, Doug and Drew are usually right about everything. When we forecast stuff, it actually happens. We talked about window shades up, and a major airline a month or a few weeks later had a policy, window shades up, right?
We talked about the airline recovery after
airline
COVID.
It was three
years ahead of what IATA was predicting.
Yeah, absolutely. But one thing, and well, this is an announcement, we were wrong. We did not think that JetBlue would merge with Spirit. We thought the natural choice would be Alaska because they have similar products. Now, having said that, this merger isn't 100%.
It's not 100%, no.
Let's give JetBlue some free advice on how to advance their talks with the Department of Justice.
Free advice. You were talking earlier about this is like million-dollar advice. I think
for
that
free.
I think that if the merger goes through, we need to bill JetBlue and say we told you, or actually if the merger doesn't go through, we'll be like, hey, we're going to charge you. This is how you would have gotten it done.
Right. And $1 million would totally pay for the podcast.
What are we talking about here? We're saying that it will turn what we call the Big Four, which is Delta, American, United, and Southwest, or some people might say the Big Three plus one, into the Big Five. What this means for everyone is more flight options. This is, in our opinion, we're saying more flight options is better than more airline options. And the example that I was giving you tonight over dinner was pre-merger mania, if you can call it that, from 2008 on, when Delta and Northwest merged. Pre-merger mania, there was the Big Six and a lot of little carriers like JetBlue, Alaska, Southwest, et cetera. Let's use easy math. Let's say a route from, I don't know, Minneapolis to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Just pick a random route. Let's say you're trying to book a flight. No, that's not good. Let's say you're trying to get from somewhere to Kansas City. We talk about Kansas City quite a bit. Let's say you're trying to get to Kansas.
That's a good. No one has a focus city or a hub.
Correct.
There, so that's a good.
Correct. It's a good example.
Yeah.
Let's say you have 10 airlines mm-hmm. and you're trying to get to Kansas City. 10 airlines, they all have one flight a day to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Now you have a bunch of mergers and you take those 10 airlines and you turn them into five. Mm-hmm. Now these five airlines each have two flights a day to Kansas City.
Okay.
What happens pre the merger when there are 10 airlines with one flight a day to Kansas City? What happens when one of those airlines cancels their flight for that day? What happens to those passengers?
You're done. I mean, you don't have any options.
Exactly. What happens when you take 10 airlines, you turn them into five, but you double the flights per airline?
You have more options.
You have more options. And this is where I feel like mergers actually are beneficial. And I know I've used this example before. Poppy and I were going to Milwaukee from Sacramento on Alaska. We flew Sac, Seattle, Milwaukee. There was only one flight a day from Seattle to Milwaukee. If we had missed our connection, we were screwed. There was no other way on Alaska that we could get from Seattle to Milwaukee. Now, if we had flown Delta, let's say we're going through Salt Lake and the flight cancels. Drew, I could have gone to Salt Lake an hour later because there are so many flights. I could have gone to Minneapolis. I could have gone to Detroit. I could have gone to Atlanta. There were so many options for me to get to Milwaukee because when Delta and Northwest merged, they created this enormous network with so many different flights. But when you had all these sporadic airlines piecemealed, and what did we look at a couple hours ago? We looked at Delta and Continental's route network from the 80s, mm-hmm. and it resembled JetBlue from today.
It really did. I mean, if you look at Continental's route map from the 80s, it looks like Frontier because most of their resources and flights were focused out of
Denver. That was it. There wasn't Houston, there wasn't Cleveland, there wasn't Newark yet. There were not a lot of options.
Yeah.
This is where I feel like consolidation is generally good because what it does is it takes your number of airlines and it cuts them down, but it means that you have so many more flight options and connection options if your flight cancels.
Doug and I were actually reviewing this, and you mentioned there were top six. So right now there's a top four. There's United, American, Delta, and Southwest. Mm-hmm. Back then, before all these huge mergers, we had six. Mm-hmm. We also had Continental and U.S. Airways. So if JetBlue and Spirit merge, we'd be back up to five, which is good for competition.
It's better than right now, in our opinion, because we go from the Big Four, Delta, American, United, Southwest, to the Big Five. Now JetBlue becomes one of those major carriers.
Right.
And Alaska is still there. Maybe we could call it the Big Five plus six, plus one.
I mean, now we're going on a tangent, but so now Alaska is left as a small airline compared to now these Big Five. Mm-hmm. If this merger goes through. So let's start speculating. Is it Alaska and Frontier? Is it Alaska and Allegiant? Is it Alaska and Breeze? Who knows?
No, I don't think that anyone would allow Alaska to merge with Frontier, because that would take away the last ultra low-cost carrier. I don't think DOJ would allow that.
See, I don't agree, because we have new low-cost carriers rising as we speak.
Allegiant. I know we've talked about Alaska and Hawaiian. That could possibly be a thing heading into the future. Right. But the last point that I want to make about this merger is ticket prices. Mm-hmm. In our opinion, they're not going to go up. And we have some, I know that that's one of the things we talked about, that Congress is trying to say right now that they think that airline consolidation means that ticket prices go up and it's bad for the consumer. We have some empirical data, I think, that shows that maybe it won't necessarily go up.
We actually dug into this. We found, we're going to use the example of Continental and United. The average fare for these two airlines before the merger was $261. When the announcement was made about the merger, it actually went down to $248 for an average price. After the merger, now this is about a year after the merger when everything settled, the fares went to $266. So that's $5 more.
Which we calculated to be 2%. 2%. The price, the average fare for people flying either Continental or United after the merger only went up 2% after those two airlines
merged. Well, and Doug, also for that 2%, the people that are flying this merged airline, which is now United, they have more connections, options,
more doubled. Like, your flight cancels, you can fly through so many different cities. You could do a Nashville connection, like you were talking about, which prior to that was probably not possible.
The University of Pennsylvania did a white paper on this. They talked about this merger and the Delta Northwest merger, and even that, the fare difference after the merger was done was nominal, but the added benefits to the customer.
Significant, absolutely.
Mergers aren't bad. I mean, that's not to say the fares aren't going to go up, but historically speaking, we've seen that the fares have not.
Yeah.
And if anything, it's going to increase JetBlue. It's going to increase competition with what would be the top five.
Well, and we talked too about the 2019 average ticket price that inflation adjusted 2019. The ticket prices were lower than ever before, and they started doing the research in tracking the data in 1995.
I was born in Sri Lanka, so of course, you know, my family is always looking at the airfares to go to Sri Lanka. In the 1970s, the 1980s, it was $1,000 round trip, $1,000. It is still about $1,000.
Yeah,
and there's many more ways to get there now, more competition, and the fares have stayed the same, but if you look at today's dollars versus 1980s dollars, the fares have gone down, which is a great thing.
Yeah, I just looked it up. A value of $1, 1980 to 2022, was a 260% increase, meaning a $1,000 ticket from Sri Lanka to the U.S. in 1980, in today's value, would be $2,600.
Yeah, and it's not. It's still about $1,000.
It's still about $1,000, which is huge compared to if 40 years later the ticket price is the same. That means that the prices have actually gone down. The real prices have actually gone down.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked about our non-rev trip in the intro. We met up with our buddy Nate in San Francisco. Here's a segment talking about our awesome day at SFO.
We're sitting here at one of the lounges in San Francisco. We're with our buddy Nate, like we talked about yesterday when we started reporting. You can find him on Twitter @Nate_in_the_air. We'll post a link on our website, nexttripnetwork.com, about how to find his awesome YouTube videos, his flight reviews. Let's first talk about, before we even got to picking you up this morning, you flew your son back up to Seattle on Alaska.
Yeah.
You connected through San Francisco. San Francisco is a hub for Alaska, and you actually flew to Payne Field, which is like a lounge in and of itself, and you connected in San Francisco on Alaska. How was that?
Oh, it's amazing. I was a little bit nervous. You know, you're hearing all these nightmare stories or whatever, connecting flights, and baggage getting lost and stuff. Traveling light, of course, so I didn't have any checked bags, but yeah, just flying through San Francisco, everything was on time. Might have had a little delay leaving the other day, but I gave myself plenty of cushion in between. But Painfield is so amazing. I mean, San Francisco.
Glass jetways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fireplace.
The fireplace. It's like you get off the airplane and you're in the lounge, basically.
Yeah. Well, how about that all Boeing Alaska fleet? How do you enjoy that?
I enjoyed my Embraer E175 uh-huh. and the Airbus 320.
Proudly all Boeing.
Yeah, so you flew zero Boeings in the all Boeing.
Yes. In the last month, I've flown seven flights with Alaska, zero on Boeing. And I gotta be honest, the 320, you know, we know that they're going to retire them soon, but the new interior that Alaska has, they've spent all that money on with those Airbus planes. It's great, and I'm going to be sad to see them go.
They're going away.
Yeah.
Really?
It's good. It's a good interior.
Because they're going back to Proudly All Boeing.
Proudly All Boeing. So how do you go Proudly All Boeing to replace an Embraer 175? It's not going to happen unless they go to Boeing 737-700s or 7 Maxes.
Max 7. Which has yet to be certified, which we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
we've talked about that.
Well, they can't be their regional jet, can it? I guess.
But if you're proudly all Boeing, you can have a jungle jet.
Well, they tried to buy Embraer.
Okay. Boeing did. Yeah, they did.
And then they backed out.
And then they backed out, yeah.
So maybe that's what Alaska was expecting.
Yeah. Nate, if anyone has listened to previous episodes, Nate is our really close friend. He does not like the A330. We still haven't figured out why.
Yeah,
he was traveling with his 9-year-old son yesterday, and I think that you have a story about the A330, Nate.
Yeah. So the 330, I think what ended up happening, it was the first wide body that was taxiing. I think it just landed and was taxiing by, and he goes, tasty. I go, okay. I was like, oh, it's a 330-300. It's fine, but I don't think my son had seen that big of a plane that close up
in a long time.
So
that was an
A330. What was his reaction to an A380?
He wasn't super interested.
Next.
I don't know why. The Turkish 777-300 goes up literally right after Iberia goes by. Meh. They're like, dude, that plane's bigger. It's more impressive. I would say it was the livery, but
now you,
I don't know.
Doug has two daughters. You have a child. These kids, your kids are spoiled. Because what did what did he ask the agent when you were checking in?
Yeah. Well, do y'all have any first class upgrades? Like, you got first class one time out of like the 20 times you've flown.
Right, now they expect it.
I get it.
It's expectation. Exactly. All right, let's talk about today. We picked up Nate when he flew in from Painfield this morning, and we went to one of our favorite places. We talked about
Bayshore.
I think you made the comment on the drive. San Francisco has turned into our LAX. We used to always go to LAX.
Right. Right.
And I had seats in the car, like camping chairs, and we went to Bayshore to watch spot all the planes coming to San Francisco. It was what, like 10 o'clock this morning, so we saw a lot of the Asian bank coming in, a lot of the Asian arrivals. What did we see? Singapore 350, ANA triple, several United coming in from Asia, JAL 78.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the SFO airport map, but I've got to tell everyone about the spotting area inside the airport that anyone can go to, which is so close to the planes, you can touch them. Mm-hmm. And this is where I used to go when I was old enough to drive and drive to the airport. And back then,
no security.
You didn't have to have a ticket.
Or not a ticket, yeah.
Yeah, you go through security. So there's this place, and I believe it's gate F9 and 11. So when you're walking into SFO, it's in the United Terminal, in Terminal 3. And you walk in, and you walk through this long walkway, right? And then there's the rotunda. Don't go left, go right, go all the way to the end, and you would be amazed. We saw a Singapore Airlines A350 so close.
Taking off, or taxiing,
taxiing
and taking off.
Yeah, and taking off.
Several triples, a Turkish 7-8.
The 7-4.
Yeah, the Lufthansa 7-4-8.
So what I'll do for the webpage for this episode, I'll put a map of SFO Airport and where you're supposed to go.
Yep.
Bayshore Boulevard, which is where we go to spot outside, is great. But would you say this is better?
It's closer.
It's closer.
Yeah, definitely. The traffic that you see taking off is incredible. Let's talk about our time at the airport. We showed up And we have tickets that leaves out of the E gates, which is not connected in security to the B and A gates. And we wanted to get to this Virgin Clubhouse, the Virgin Atlantic Clubhouse Lounge. And we went through security that let us through even with our tickets, and it was closed. So what did we do? We left security, walked back across the airport.
Things we did.
To go into the club that we could go into.
Yeah.
We lounge hopped around a couple different lounges over in like the E and the F gates. And then Drew goes, okay, guys, we have to get into this Virgin Clubhouse. You and Nate, stay here. Keep drinking wine, eating. I'm going to go on a scouting effort. I'm going to leave my bags. You guys carry them. We're at this point, when Drew left, we had already gone through security twice. Yeah. Drew walked out of security, back across the airport, through security again to the A gates, and texts us with these amazing views, amazing
right.
food, and says, guys, it's open for business. Come on over.
The coast is clear.
The coast is clear. Nate and I left the club, and we walked back across, went through security for a third time to get in here. Nate, reactions?
Oh, I mean, this Virgin Club is amazing. We had delicious curry. Y'all loved your, like, teriyaki burger.
Yeah.
It was great. Shortbread cookies are amazing. And it's a cool view. You know, you can see the
great number.
It's 380, and it's a cool hip vibe.
It's a cool hip vibe. But what did we learn today? So make sure, I mean, we're walking in here like, you know, I was going to take these guys to this club, and it's closed. So what we learned today is, find out the opening and closing times, because even though you may have access with whatever memberships you have,
they may not be open.
They may not be open. And we had three strikes because we were going to use the British Airways Club.
They closed at 11:30, and we tried it.
We tried the Air France. Basically, if they have a flight going on, they're not letting people who are not on their flight into their club.
Even with club membership.
Yeah, and if you're going to travel with Drew, bring your patience and be ready to walk and go through security a whole bunch of times.
It's an AbGeek workout today. I mean, it's
fine. It's all great.
But now I want to tell everyone how it's like working in the airline industry. It's coincidence. I'm visiting my mom. Doug happened to have the days off, and we got to spend yesterday together. Mm-hmm. And Nate is flying through, so I plan to meet Nate. You happen to still be off. Mm-hmm. And Nate and I are going to Phoenix together to see Tyler from Non-Rev Lounge. But what just happened?
I just got assigned you a trip tomorrow. Unfortunately, I can't make the flight with you guys tonight, but I still got to spend the day at the airport going to the clubs, watching the planes. And after you guys leave, I'm going to be quiet here. I might just stay here for another dinner and some time. Yeah.
We'll just work on your taxes in here, or I don't know, whatever you need.
I'll start working on the edit, yeah.
You are hearing some clinking glasses and some... action around, so that's all
Cheers.
Meant to be. We're trying to make up for last episode where the sound quality wasn't good, because in Doug's nondescript hotel room, I can't remember where it was, the Wi-Fi went out as we were taping.
Yeah. It was somewhere in the world. I think it was in Cleveland. Yeah.
Oh, Cleveland, of course.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Ohio.
Yep.
Well, we talked about possible drama. I guess we had a little bit with me getting assigned this trip, and I can't join you guys. And I did try and look and see if I could just buy a ticket home so I could at least non-rev with you. I can't. The lows are looking like they're okay for you guys, so hopefully not much drama. And we talked about that we're going to mention the rest of your trip next week.
On the next time. Yeah, I'll talk about it on the next episode.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we don't want a recreation of our February trip where we didn't quite know what
where
was going to happen.
Where you were literally straddling the eye or the jetway
the
and
jetway
the airplane.
Oh, no. Nate is on my passes, and Nate has beginner's luck. There isn't a flight that we have not gotten on, and flights that were overbooked too. Once again, our luck will continue. So on the next flight, we're more concerned about
but why will the luck continue? What are you wearing right now, and what am I wearing?
We're wearing
our
socks.
Lucky
we airplane
are all,
socks.
All wearing our lucky non-rev socks.
Gotta have them.
Yeah, so we'll have a picture of those. They have never, to be honest, I mean, we're joking about this. They have
never failed us. And I even asked you, because I had my Next Trip podcast socks this morning, and I asked you, do I wear my Next Trip podcast socks, or do I wear my lucky non-rev socks?
Mm-hmm.
And you thought for a second, and I could see the gears turning in your head, and I knew what your answer was going to be, and you looked at me and you said, you've got to wear your non-rev socks.
If it works, you got to keep doing it, man.
Yeah. Phoenix is next, and we'll talk about it on the next episode. So thanks for joining us. Nate, anything else? Or how, actually, we are going to put a link. So Nate is traveling from Payne Field to SFO, where we caught him, and he has your best video is, I think. I love that
Payne, the Payne Field.
Payne Field. Yeah. So we're going to have a link to
it. Kensington. We talked about Sir that here. Kensington. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe I'll try to find a way to make a video of this last trip. There was a lot going on. Of course, I got my son, and I don't post him on the YouTube, but it was a great trip. Alaska was solid. It wasn't anything special, I would say, but I did get on my very first flight of the whole trip. Oh. I was traveling to the airport.
Right.
You got the upgrade.
I got the upgrade. Yeah. I got one F. Well, but I don't even know what happened.
You said it wasn't anything special, but we talked about Nate a couple weeks ago that he was worried with all of these issues going on this summer. Yeah. And he texted us and goes, guys, am I going to be okay in August? And we said, by August, you probably should be. Yeah. And you have been. And the loads are going down because schools are starting. Robbie, you said, starts next week. So he can't travel anymore. And his students probably can't travel anymore. My girls are coming home this weekend. They start school in the next week or so. Yeah. We're at the point now where that summer, the crazy summer travel that we've been talking about for the last several months is finally starting to wane.
Yeah. Right. The Alaska crews are all very good. Most of them were former Virgin America employees. They love the Airbus and stuff, and they do all this other stuff, but...
Yeah,
it's been very interesting to watch the Airbus turn into Alaska, but it's like a new Alaska because it's got this new interior that the 737 doesn't have. So it's like a whole different experience. But I enjoyed it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It might not have been special, but everything was on time. I made it to where I needed to go, and
here we sit. When we had an odd, like, even though I can't join you guys tonight. We spent an entire day at the airport, going to clubs and lounges.
It doesn't get much better than that.
It's awesome. Yeah.
All right, Nate. Well, thanks for joining us. We have another adventure to go on pretty shortly.
Yeah, we probably got to run again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have Geek Workout continues.
Yep, let's keep going.
What a great day, Doug. We'll talk more about the trip next week. Moving on, we again received some great listener feedback. Doug, a few people guessed correctly what your Cleveland trip was for.
They did. Thanks, Aaron and Paul, for responding and correctly figuring it out. Drew, we also received a great 5-star review. What did it say?
Some great feedback from an Australian listener. His name is DK Revenge. He said, great for getting some inside knowledge on how airlines run. He said, I've been a religious listener of a couple of AvGeek podcasts for the last few years, layovers and Australian frequent flyer on air. But it wasn't quite enough for me. I recently discovered the next trip, and I love how it dives deep into airline operations from both the flying and ground ops perspective. Interesting to hear about how things work in a big U.S. international airline. The frequency and length of the episodes is great to keep me satisfied with lots of AvGeek content. So thank you, DK Revenge. You know, Doug and I always talk about, hey, we hope we are putting out content that people enjoy, that's not too long, not too short. And he or she is saying that... it's the right length and it's the right content.
Yeah. And I'm really impressed and we're appreciative of all our internationalists, of our listeners in general, but especially the international listeners. I feel like we have a really big following in Australia and New Zealand. And I really appreciate that.
Is it because we start off our podcast with
G'day? we've gotten some feedback from our down under listeners saying they really appreciate us.
Because they hear that G'day. And they think, okay, this is a safe place.
Yeah. No, DK, thank you so much for that feedback. This is awesome. We're glad that you found us. And even if no one listened to us, if just my mom literally was the only person who listened to our podcast, we would still do it because we love talking aviation. We love doing this. We do this for our enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And we're just happy that people enjoy following along for the ride.
So this conversation, this podcast that we're doing right now, it's just an extension of the conversation we literally had at the bar about half an hour ago.
Before we recorded. Yeah. That we threw this together at the last minute. We said, you know what? Let's record right now. This is going to be awesome.
But, you know, it's not just our banter. We want to share information about aviation and...
Educate.
Mm-hmm. Because we want you to learn and we want you to get something from this podcast. But we also want you to just sit back and enjoy what we enjoy, which is aviation and traveling and working in the airlines.
Yeah, exactly. This podcast is your show, so go on our website, nexttripnetwork.com, and let us know what's on your mind so we can talk about it or give us your feedback. You can also follow us on Twitter or Instagram at nexttrippodcast. Please tell your friends about us so we can reach more people who love aviation and travel.
And check our website, because we do these shows and then we put a lot of pictures related to our topics in the website. So go to nexttripnetwork.com. And also, that's an easy place to put your comments. It's very easy to just send us a quick comment. You don't need to write down an email or anything. Just nexttripnetwork.com. Thanks to all of our listeners for your support, and thanks for joining the conversation. We'll see you next week. And in the meantime, stay aviation tough.
This has been the Next Trip Podcast. Visit nexttripnetwork.com for information about previous episodes, trip reviews, aviation photos, and other aviation-related content. This is your show, so search for The Next Trip on Twitter and let Doug and Drew know what you want to talk about. Not on Twitter? You can also email them at nexttrip.podcast@gmail.com. Please consider leaving a review wherever you download your podcasts. It will help other listeners like you discover this show.
Yes. All right, you guys are under a time crunch, so
yeah, we are.
I think, yeah.
Watch, we're gonna miss our flight
a little bit. I mean, you take off in 70 minutes, an hour 10.
We still gotta go through security.
A little bit fast, yeah.